In early 2004, I worked as a pizza delivery driver in a small town of New Jersey. We were known to be the best pizza in town and relatively new, so the store got a lot of orders from locals. Hell, we even got orders outside of our delivery radius. We were that popular. Anyway, it was a Wednesday night if I remember correctly, and we hadn't received many orders due to it being a weeknight. When business was slow, my boss would allow us to go in the computer in the back room if we had nothing to do. Mind you, this was 2004, so the computer in the back room was really the only form of entertainment we had. At some point, I had been online playing on one of those internet browser games when the store got a call. On the other end was an elderly man asking for a medium pie. It was only 15 minutes away, and it wasn't a busy night, so I had no problem doing that drive. Now, let's fast forward to when I was on the road. I had decided to take a shortcut through some smaller back roads that I had never taken before. According to my GPS, the back roads would get me to my destination about 5 minutes before, so I couldn't go wrong with that. I remember taking a right and made my way onto the road that would lead me to where I needed to go. There were trees on both sides of this road, and you couldn't see anything more than 4 feet in front of you. I'll admit, it was a bit spooky navigating through this road, but I had dismissed it as me being paranoid due to the eerie nature of it. Suddenly, about 2 to 3 minutes later, my headlights catch someone crawling onto the road soaking wet. I yell out an oh shit and swerve around this person, making sure to not hit them. When I look in my rearview mirror, I see this person stand up and just stare down as I drive by. After getting a decent look, I came to the realization that it was a woman drenched in water. There was a river right next to this road, so I could only assume she had gotten out from there and onto the road seeking help. But her appearance and the way she crawled out from the trees was so abnormal and definitely had me shaken up. I made it to the customer's house and was given a $10 tip for my service. On the way back, I had taken the same route hoping to find the woman, but never did. This was ultimately the creepiest thing I've ever encountered in my years of delivering food, and nothing ever became of that woman.
Austin was a college student who worked at a small local pizza place and got delivery right before closing. When he took down their address, he saw it was a bad area of town and thought to himself jokingly, "I'm probably going to get robbed." The order was less than $20, but they asked if he could give change for $100, and he said no. "Well, I'm probably definitely getting robbed," he thought, still joking to himself. He drove to the neighborhood, not somewhere you'd want to be after 1 a.m., pulled up to the house. There were no lights on anywhere, but he could see an outline of two people sitting on that dimly lit porch. "Oh my God, I might actually get robbed," he kept thinking to himself. He walked up to the dark house and approached the two men on the porch to deliver the food. One of them was comically short.
"So, do you have change for the $100?
One of them asked. Austin said no and reminded them he had told them this over the phone. They said nothing. The short guy went inside the still dark house to get money. Austin stood outside awkwardly with the other man, who just stared at him wordlessly. 2 minutes passed, then 5 minutes, then 10. The pizza was already starting to get cold. The house was still pitch black inside. The other guy just kept staring at Austin. Austin had a bad feeling and began to feel genuinely uncomfortable. He looked at his cell phone clock and saw his shift should have ended a little while back. Feeling freaked out, he told the guy,
"Well, my shift is over and I have to get home. Consider the pizza free."
He turned around and started to walk off the porch back to his car. About halfway there, the porch light came on, and he heard the door shut, and for a split second remember seeing both their shadows, one long and one comically short. A half a second later, he heard a swooping sound as they both leapt off the porch. A half second later, One guy grabbed Austin by the arm and pulled a knife on him. The short one held his other arm.
"You're not going anywhere," he said.
The first thought to go through Austin's head was that he was right about being robbed. The second was that this was a horrible way to say thank you for a free pizza. Now, Austin had taken martial arts lessons in the past, but he had no practice. He was strong and stubborn. In the heat of the moment, he tore his arm free from the short man and used his pizza bag as a shield against a knife, and turned and tried to do some kind of Mortal Kombat move on the side of the guy's face. He said, in fact, afterwards, it seemed like a better idea in his head. Austin missed the side of the man's head, and his fingers plunged straight into the guy's eye socket. Austin freaked out at holding what felt like a grape and pulled his hand away, and then inadvertently popped the guy's eyeball out of the socket. You read that right. All three of them started screaming at the same time. The one guy because his eye just been torn out of its socket. Austin because he realized what he had just done. And the short guy because he had just witnessed the whole thing and ran screaming into the darkness somewhere behind the house. Austin picked up the dropped knife and called 911 while the guy lay writhing on the walkway. Upon telling the operator what had transpired, about 5 police cars showed up. The officers think the situation's hilarious, calling the man on the ground a pirate. They ask Austin to describe the short guy, and he does. And one of them says, "Hang on." The two disappear behind the house. 10 minutes later, they come back with them. They all know this man. Evidently, they had been to his house many times before, and he was a repeat offender. Austin went to the police station to give a statement, where several employees in earshot asked him to relay the story again. Austin received a nice raise and worked at the same pizza place until he graduated.
I work full-time as a pizza delivery driver for a relatively popular pizza chain. I've done this for almost a year now, as I'm putting what money I made to pay for college. Don't ask me how I can manage both my job and school at the same time, because to tell you the truth, I have no idea. I would work mostly during the week, so I would constantly be doing deliveries left and right. Also, I live in Savannah, Georgia, so I'd pretty much be doing it every second. I had just returned to the restaurant after a good 3 hours of doing deliveries, only to get another one. Thankfully, it wasn't too far of a drive, and it was only one pie, so I felt relieved I didn't have to do much. I bring the pizza to the car and input the address into my phone. Out of curiosity, I copy and paste the address into Google Earth just to see what the house was like. For whatever reason, I've always had the habit of doing this, even if it felt stalkerish. The house was this older, rundown, two-storied mansion made of red brick. An absolute dream of a house if it had been maintained better. Right away, I started to get excited, as wealthier people tend to tip more than most. I was at the house within about 10 minutes, with the pizza still hot, so the customer would be satisfied. Let me tell you, you don't understand how many people would complain if their pizza came even slightly cold. I walk up to the house and ring the doorbell, and that's when I hear slow footsteps coming to the door, and then stopping. "Delivery for Dan?" I yelled out. There was silence for a good minute, however, I knew someone was behind the door, so they could definitely hear me. Mind you, it's about 40 degrees outside, so the longer I waited, the colder the pizza got. Finally, I heard the door unlock, and was greeted to an older woman staring at me. For a second, I thought I had the wrong house, as the person who placed the order was a man. Out of nowhere, she begins to speak, saying that Dan was her son and that he had just left the house and that he'd be back. In the meantime, she had invited me inside, where it was a lot warmer. As much as it felt wrong, it was getting colder by the minute, and I actually accepted. I step inside and realized that it wasn't as warm as she said it was. Maybe a little warm, but definitely not by a landslide. She had offered me something to eat while I waited, but our policy states that we couldn't accept food from customers. I waited in that house, still freezing my ass off for a good 10 minutes before telling her that I'd just leave the pizza here. She gave me a nod and watched me as I proceeded to open the front door. The second I did, I heard the most blood-curdling shriek coming from upstairs that echoed across the house. I look upstairs into the pitch-black darkness and then back at the woman, who then said something that made my blood run cold.
"I think it's time for you to leave, hon."
However, her sentence is not what scared me the most. It was her tone, the way she said it, almost as if it was a warning to leave now. You bet your life I was out of that house in seconds, not caring about any sort of tip or pay at this point. Fear is not enough to describe what I felt. You had to be there to hear what I heard. It didn't even sound human. I basically floored it down the road, not looking back, while calling my manager about it. I could tell he was in a bitchy mood and just told me to keep delivering orders and not to worry about it. As much as I wanted to call the police, I felt that I could have lost my job had I done so. The rest of my day went by as usual, with only one complaint about the incorrect toppings. Other than that, I made a bag with tips at the end of the day. This was about a week ago, and I still have no idea what made that screaming noise upstairs. I'd like to think that it was some sort of sick joke that was being played, but maybe that's because I'd rather not think of the alternative.
I'll never forget this night. The pizza place I worked at was about to close, and I was getting ready to go home when the phone rang. I was working the counter alone that night, so I was taking calls. I picked up the phone. There was complete silence, so I hung up. About a minute later, the phone rang again, so I picked up. Still silence. I was about to hang up again when I heard the very weak and cold voice of an old woman on the other end. She said she wanted a regular pie delivered. I remained polite on the phone, but on the inside I was screaming. I just wanted to get home and end my shift. I called out to my boss that someone was requesting a delivery, and of course, guess what? He told me I had to go. I was upset at first, but I realized it was another tip, and the old ones usually tip the most, so I decided to go through with it. I wrote down the address, told her it would be there soon, but she had already hung up the phone. I thought to myself how rude that was, but I ignored it and yelled to the chef that I needed one more regular. My boss told me to just go home after the delivery, as the place would be closed. So a little before 10 o'clock, I got in my car, put the address and the GPS on my phone. The house was 7 miles away. The GPS took me to the quiet side of town. I arrived at the house. It was a small one-floor home on a very quiet and empty street. I took the pizza and walked up to the door and rang the doorbell. There were no lights on in the house. I hoped that she hadn't given me the wrong address. I rang the doorbell again. There was still no answer. I was about to give up when I turned my head and saw someone standing at the window. I got a little freaked out and backed up at first, but I eventually got closer to the window to see a person. It was an old woman, probably in her late 70s. She was just staring at me with a blank expression. I yelled at her through the glass that I had her pizza. She didn't react to what I said, so I screamed it louder. A large smile ran across her face. Not a pleasant, genuine smile. It was a smile that sent chills down my entire spine. I still remember that exact same face she made through the window. I decided that I was freaked out enough and got back to my car and set the pizza down in the passenger seat. I had to text my boss about this. After I shot him a quick message, I started my car ready to get the hell out of there. I looked to my right to get one more look to see the woman, standing right outside my passenger side window, giving me the same stare she'd given me before. Put my car in drive and floored it down the street, never looking back. My boss never made me do a late night delivery again.
Delivering food at night is usually peaceful. The roads are clear, there's no rush, and you just hop from one house to another, dropping off burgers and pizzas while listening to music or podcasts. I've always liked it. It's kind of meditative, actually. Just me, the dark streets, and my thoughts. But that night felt different, and not in a good way. It was late, maybe around 11 p.m., and I'd been driving for a few hours. I only had one more order to deliver before I called it a night. It wasn't a long run, just another drop-off at some out-of-the-way spot on the edge of town. You know how it is, long roads with no one around, houses way spread out, and no streetlights anywhere. It was a pizza and a soda. Easy. I grabbed the food from the restaurant, threw it in the passenger seat, and punched the address into my GPS. It was about 15 minutes away. I figured I'd drop it off, maybe get a nice tip, and then head home. I started driving, the streets quickly getting quieter as I left the busier parts of town behind. It was one of those clear nights, the sky pitch black except for a few stars. All I could hear was my engine humming and the trees rustling when the wind kicked up. The further I drove, the emptier the roads became, with houses becoming more spaced out until they pretty much disappeared entirely. Normally, this wouldn't bother me. I like the isolation at night, but something about this particular drive felt off. I was maybe 5 minutes into the drive when I noticed a car behind me. It wasn't tailgating or anything. It was keeping a fair distance, but I could see the headlights in my rearview mirror, and for some reason, that bugged me. I looked at the road ahead, empty, and then back at the car. It was strange seeing another vehicle out here this late. I tried to shake it off. Plenty of people drive late at night. Maybe they were headed in the same direction. Shouldn't be a problem, right? I kept driving, the car still behind me, always at the same distance. It wasn't close enough to feel like it was tailing me, but it wasn't far enough to feel like a coincidence either. I figured maybe they'd pass me eventually. But they didn't. They just stayed there, like a shadow, always a few car lengths behind. I looked at the GPS, 10 minutes to go. I could handle 10 more minutes of this. As the minutes ticked by, I started to feel the tension creeping in. That car was still behind me, keeping pace no matter how fast or slow I went. I tried to rationalize it again. Maybe they lived out here too. Maybe they were just headed home, just like me. But something about it wasn't sitting right. I made a turn onto a smaller road, not the kind with only one lane in each direction and barely any shoulder to pull over on. The road twisted and turned, dipping into small valleys and rising back up again, with thick woods on either side. The kind of road where it feels like you're the only person for miles. Except I wasn't alone. The headlights were still there, still following, as steady as ever. I got that gut feeling, the one that screams something's off, even if you can't figure out why. I checked the GPS again. 5 minutes left, just 5 more minutes. I took another turn, this time onto a road that was barely lit. The trees on either side closing in like a tunnel. The car behind me took the turn too. Now I couldn't shake it anymore. There was no way they were just casually going in the same direction. I wasn't even sure this road led to anywhere else. I sped up, trying to put some distance between us, but the car sped up too. That was it. No more rationalizing. I was being followed. My heart was racing. What the hell did they want? Were they trying to rob me? Was it some psycho messing with me? I knew I had to do something. I couldn't just keep driving and hope they'd lose interest. I wasn't going to lead them to the customer's house either, no way. So I made a split-second decision. Up ahead, I saw a small dirt road branching off the main one. I didn't know where it led, but it didn't matter. I turned the wheel hard, veering onto the dirt road without thinking. The tires skidded on the gravel, kicking up dust as I sped down the narrow path. The headlights behind me disappearing for a second as I rounded the bend. I checked the rearview mirror. Nothing. For a brief moment, I thought I'd lost them. But then, just as quickly as they'd vanished, the headlights appeared again, bouncing over the uneven terrain as the car turned onto the same dirt road. I let out a low curse. This wasn't going to be easy. The dirt road twisted and turned, narrowing even more as I drove deeper into the woods. I didn't know where I was going, but I couldn't stop. The other car was getting closer, the headlights growing brighter in the rearview mirror. They were catching up. I tried to stay calm, keep my focus on the road ahead, but the fear was clawing its way up, making it harder to think straight. I could hear the tires crunching over the gravel, the branches scraping against the side of my car as I sped past. The road ahead split into two paths. I had no idea where either of them went, but I didn't have time to think. I took the left path, hoping it would lead somewhere, anywhere, that would get me out of this mess. The car behind me took the right path. For a second, I didn't understand what had just happened. Why hadn't they followed me? Why had they taken the other path? But then, it hit me. They didn't need to follow me. They knew these roads better than I did. They were cutting me off. The moment I realized what was happening, my heart was beating out of my chest. They were going to loop around and block me off. I slammed on the gas, pushing my car to its limit as I tore down the winding dirt road, the trees blurring past me. I had to get out of here. I had to find a way back to the main road before they could cut me off. But the road was getting rougher, the ruts and rocks making it harder to keep control. I could feel the car struggling, the wheels skidding on the loose dirt. Up ahead, I saw the trees thinning out, the road starting to straighten. I was almost there, almost back to safety. And then, just as I thought I was in the clear, I saw it. The car was there, parked sideways across the road, blocking my path. The headlights were off, but I could see the dark outline of the vehicle, waiting for me. They had gotten there first. I hit the brakes, the tires screeching as the car skidded to a stop, just a few feet away from the other car. My hands were shaking as I gripped the steering wheel, my mind racing for a way out. There was no turning around. The road was too narrow, and they'd catch up with me before I could get far. I looked at the car blocking the road, but I couldn't see who was inside. The windows were tinted, and the headlights were still off. It was just sitting there, silent, waiting. And then the driver's side door opened. I threw the car into reverse and hit the gas, backing up as fast as I could without losing control. The car in front of me didn't move, but I could feel the tension, like something was about to snap. I didn't care where I was going anymore. I just needed to get away. The dirt road was bumpy, my car jolting with every turn, but I kept going, not daring to look back. I could hear the engine of the other car revving behind me, but I didn't stop. Finally, after what felt like forever, I saw the main road ahead. The trees opened up, the dirt road giving way to asphalt. I sped onto the road without looking, my tires screeching as I merged back onto the highway. I didn't stop until I was miles away, the darkness of the woods far behind me. I never found out who was in that car or why they were following me. Maybe they were just messing with me, trying to scare me. Or maybe it was something worse. All I know is that I didn't want to find out. I kept driving, not stopping until I was back in town, the lights of the city making me feel a little safer. But even now, whenever I drive down those dark, empty roads at night, I keep checking the rearview mirror, waiting for those damn headlights to appear again. Because out there in the dark, you never know who's following you, or why.